RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, if you have ever had to find a babysitter, you know how difficult this can be, and you've seen the TV ads for, you know, various caregivers, companies that help you find them, but there's teenagers in your neighborhood. What training do they have? What should they have? And how can you as a parent in this age of technology feel safe and secure with your babysitter, knowing they're not texting the whole time, knowing they're not busy doing other things? My guest is Dr. Elizabeth Murray. She's a physician specializing in pediatric emergency medicine at the University of Rochester Medical Center. Welcome to the show, Dr. Murray. So choosing a babysitter, you and I have both had to do it. Tell the listeners challenges that you faced and what you do about them.
Well, I think some of the things that make teenagers the very best choices for babysitters, you know, they're full of energy and they are often eager to play, are some of the things that can be the risk factors with those teens as well. You know, perhaps they're not as good in an emergency as an adult may be. So, first of all, I suggest talking to the parents of the teen and just feeling them out to say, you know, what do you think about your child being a babysitter, or have they done it in the past, or perhaps do you have two teens that want to work together, and that might be the best thing. And then I think kind of giving them a little bit of a trial run, kind of a mother's helper situation where perhaps you need to do some yard work or you're going to be around in very close proximity, but you can give that teenager a little bit of a trial period, see how they interact with your child. Because, of course, you know, this person has the potential to be new to your child as well, so you don't want to leave your child with somebody that they don't know. Often the teen sitters really do best with people that are 4, 5, 6, 7 years old themselves, unless you have a really experienced teenager. Perhaps an infant is not the best person to leave with them. And on the flip side of that, having somebody that's really close in their age, perhaps a 13-year-old being left with a 16-year-old, you might not have enough of an age difference so that that 13-year-old might not really appreciate the authority figure that that 16-year-old is for that time period.
Well, it certainly can be, you know, quite a little conundrum. So when you're looking for the teenage babysitters versus looking for, you know, maybe a young lady or an older lady or somebody along those lines, what are you looking for in a teenage babysitter? Because, Dr. Murray, there's babysitting class, but they can
yep.
start at 11. I babysat at 11, but I wouldn't trust my babies to an 11-year-old, not these days.
Well, right, things have changed, and you know, we know that there's a lot of distraction for teens and tweens out there, whether it be the internet or cell phone, smartphone use. Things definitely are different nowadays, though you mentioned a class, and I think that that is critical, whether it be from the Red Cross or a lot of local Y's. Any type of organized babysitting program I think is really important. The ones associated with something like the Red Cross are nice because they often teach CPR and first aid, and I made my parents take CPR and first aid before they watched my daughter after she was born, and I think it's a critical life skill for everyone to have. So making sure that the basic first aid skills are there, that tells you not only is that teenager able to help if something goes wrong, but it also shows you, you know, they had the maturity to go through that class successfully. You know, those not all teenagers can do that successfully. There's a lot of maturity that needs to be done just to pass something like that. So I think those types of things are really important. And then look at their references. Maybe you are going to be the first family that that child is going to sit for, but maybe there's been other people in the neighborhood that that teenager has watched. But, and again, the teen's parents can often give you a lot of insight of whether or not they think their child is ready for it.
Well, I liked when I would hire teens when their parents would say, I'll be home, you know, just in case they need to call me, I'll be at home. So I always liked that because then it's like the parents are babysitting too, you know, then you know you're pretty good to go there. But those babysitting classes, CPR, yes. So do you recommend nanny cams? Do you recommend, you know, keeping track, calling in? How often do you check on your baby? All those kinds of things.
Well, nanny cams is a controversial topic, and I think it kind of depends on what's going on, the age of your child, the potential special needs of your child, and how long you're going to be gone for. In general, I think if a teenager is watching a child, the time period that they're going to be left alone should be on the shorter end, you know, perhaps probably not more than 3 hours, especially if it's going later into the night. So you perhaps don't necessarily have to have such an invasive watching, but I think checking in is certainly appropriate, especially if there's going to be potentially a challenging event that that sitter has to face. Perhaps, you know, getting dinner organized, checking in, sending a text message, which you can usually do to the teenagers nowadays, and say, did dinner go okay? I was worried she might not like the vegetable I left. Did that go okay? Or, you know, did bedtime go okay? Is everything settled down there now? Things like that. So innocent little update check-ins, I think, are totally fine, and teenagers usually are very responsive to text messages, and I don't think that they would be concerned about that as well. Plus, there's nothing wrong with putting your own mind at ease to making sure things are okay.
In this age of technology, Dr. Murray, you pointed out something off air that happened to you with pictures. You know, these teenage babysitters, they treat your kids like dolls. They love them, especially the girls. They're like, oh my God, this is the cutest baby. And they'll play with their hair and put them. But some babysitters, you know, took pictures because they want to show their friends how cute your babies are.
And that's right, and it was completely innocent, and my daughter is 4, and she was having a blast, and they were playing dress-up, and she even said, oh, take a picture of me so we can see how I look, and it was completely innocent, but I never had thought about talking to them about the fact that, now they have a picture of my child, and is that going to be put out on Instagram? Is that going to be put out on Snapchat? Where is my child's picture going to go? In this situation, totally innocent, not a problem at all, and I was confident in the teenager's responsibility. However, it made me really think that, you know, I had shown them the information sheet on the refrigerator that talks about my child's medical history and emergency numbers. I made sure they knew where I was going to be. They had my cell phone number. They had other emergency contact information. I had kind of gone through what I thought was a really thorough checklist in my head, thinking, you know, this is my specialty. I should know how to have this under control. But it never occurred to me to think, of course, they're going to have their cell phones out and take pictures. They were not malicious in any ways, but it's just normal activity for them. So, you know, have it to do all over again, I'm going to add in information about maybe cell phones have to stay away unless there's an emergency, you know, no texting with friends. We need you to be 100% present when you're caring for my child.
I think that's really important. And you can also, even as the parent, write, say up front, besides no texting, no FaceTiming your boyfriend, no none of that stuff, but you can say right up front, you know, I don't want you sharing pictures of my baby on Instagram. You know, I don't want you Snapchatting or doing anything like that because I'm not comfortable with that. So you can actually say that as a parent. So finding the babysitters, look around the neighborhood. How do you find those teenage babysitters? Do you put up a little piece of paper at the high school?
Well, I think the neighborhood is best, and usually, you know, word of mouth is likely to get you the most successful candidate. Some of the commercial babysitter finder websites actually have teen pages that, as long as the teen's parent co-signs for them, if you will, and participates in it, they actually have websites available for the teenagers. The high schools, some of the high schools certainly can help. I know locally our colleges have educational programs where they actually have degrees in young childhood education. So they offer up a lot of their students. So those are a little bit older than teenagers, but they're college-age students that have an interest in early childhood education, and they can often be great sitters. And the universities and colleges are usually very, very helpful with getting their students connected with potential employers. So that's another great thing. Whether you reach out to local Girl Scout troops, other associations, the kids are involved, and those are also usually good ways to get responsible young adults.
Great ideas, Dr. Murray, and I love the reaching out to the colleges that have early childhood education, because that's really a great idea. And also your local park district, if they're the ones offering those babysitting classes, then you can just hand out your phone number at the babysitting class and say, have some of the girls that graduate here give me a call, you know, because I'm definitely looking for a babysitter. So these are all really great ideas, ways to find a good babysitter. Not easy, but it can be done. And in this age of technology, just set the rules forth. Just like back in the day when you'd say no boyfriends over, no parties. Now you say no texting, no FaceTiming. You know, these are all great suggestions. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. If you missed any of our great information, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at RadioMD.com. Thanks so much for listening, and stay well.